Welcome to episode 88 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. On May the 19th and 20th, 2007, I visited the incredibly beautiful Tatsuzawa Falls near Inawashiro in the Fukushima Prefecture. In this episode, I'm going to take you through some of the images that I made during the magical 8 hours or so total time that I spent there, while talking about some of the things that I bore in mind while shooting and some of the preparation that helped me to maximize my chances of getting some great shots. I arrived at the falls at around 5:30 p.m., a little late after some problems with the car navigation system. I'd used the postcode that I found on Google Maps to let me know, sort of, you know, to get me as close as possible to the falls. But it turns out that was the other side of a mountain, so I had to sort of ride a very narrow gravel track around the side of the mountains through areas that were like, there was bushes either side. So I scratched the side of my Lexus on the branches, not very happy about that. But basically I was also rushing to try and get through to there. So it's kind of my own fault for not sort of backing up and trying to find a better way. But anyway, I got there, like I say, about 5:30. And what I'd done basically this day was I'd taken my other half to a sister's house for a few days, and I'd stopped off for a cuppa before heading through the mountains from the city of Fukushima to the Inawashiro area. And the falls are only like a 5-minute brisk walk from the car park once I got there. But as I walked around, I saw, you know, I started to be able to see the falls from behind a shrine that is there. A lot of the time in Japan, some of these falls, they're used in like ceremonies and things as well. And there's often, Shinto use, and I'm not sure if they do it for Buddhism as well, but there's often this, you know, temples or shrines nearby, and they have these ceremonies where people will stand on the base of the falls and get hit by the cold water, and it's kind of like a trial that people go through, and it helps them to become better people and all of that sort of thing. I didn't see any of that there, and I'm glad, because I wanted to photograph the falls rather than the rituals. But I turned the corner and saw the falls, there was almost a tear in my eye as I saw the sight in front of me. So let's take a look at image number 1438, and I'll explain why. I'd been shooting for almost an hour when I shot this particular image, just before packing up for the day and going to find a hotel for the night. The main reason that I'd chosen to come here at this time of year, though, was because of the fresh green leaves on the tree that we can see in front of the falls here. I knew that these leaves were about to show themselves at this time of year, but I'd not managed to find out if they were actually out or not yet. So, you know, even a call to the local town office didn't get me a positive yes. And they actually said that early June would be better. But I've seen these falls in books with this greenery shot at the end of May, and I was hoping to be in luck. I'd not had good luck the previous weekend, though, with late snows holding back some of the foliages in the location that we looked at in episode 87. So I was just really happy to see these leaves, and then of course the falls themselves were such a picture, literally. The sun had dropped down below the horizon shortly after I arrived here, though even then there was no direct light falling in the area. As the hour passed, night set in, and by the time I left shortly after shooting this image, it was almost totally dark. I shot the falls with my camera set to the daylight white balance, and that is why, you know, the image was given this really strong blue cast. I could of course have used a YBAL, reading it, reading it in to create correct the white balance. And indeed, I shot a YBAL just in case for this purpose, but I decided against correcting the white balance for this shot. I really like that cold pre-night touch that this blue gives, though I understand that it might not be for everyone. I needed no neutral density filter here, and basically to get an exposure of 2.5 seconds at f/11 with an ISO of 200, was basically, that was just the straight settings, no filter, so I'm sure you can appreciate how dark it was when I took this shot. It was this shutter speed, of course, that transformed the running water into that dreamy blur, falling into the scene and leaving its mark across the rocks, and then all across the bottom of the scene there as it splashes around. Having left shortly after this and finding a hotel in a near in the nearby nearby town, I started to think about my next visit the following morning. The sun rises at 4:30 a.m. at this time of year, and I wanted to be at the falls around this time to catch them in the early morning light. I was also hoping that there'd be some early morning mist, but that wasn't to be. Anyway, I decided to get up at 3:45 a.m. and head back to the falls. I arrived at around 4:20, maybe a few minutes before or after, and I started shooting again as the light picked up. We can see a shot from this session in image number 1439. Similar to the last image in composition, but I got a little tighter for this one, removing the batch of leaves at the top and singling it down to the single batch that we see here. You'll also note that the color cast is not there this time, with the water registering very close to pure white. This has beauty in itself, and this is why I chose to upload a blue cast version and this one, although they're very similar compositions. This again was shot at f/11, this time for 6/10ths of a second at ISO 400. And you might be wondering why I used ISO 200 for the last and 400 for this shot, even though I was after a slow shutter speed to get that flowing water effect. Well, the problem is that it's a fine balance between getting movement in the water and movement in those leaves on the tree. As there was a breeze, as the breeze caught the leaves, the whole branch was swaying around, so I had to keep timing my exposures for the time when the bough stopped, either before swaying back the other way or for the times when the breeze had dropped long enough, for long enough to just not sway the branch around. I actually shot some images that purposefully had the leaves moving around, but it wasn't as effective as I'd hoped, so I didn't upload any of them. I hung around for a couple of hours at this in the early morning session, having the whole place to myself and being the only nutter around that would get up at this time to be here. I then, though, decided to go back to the hotel for breakfast. I'd actually recorded a message that I wanted to put into this podcast at the beginning and around this time, and unfortunately, the sound of the water crashing was, it really just sort of made it so annoying. It was, there's just like a horrible static across the whole thing, so it didn't come out the way I'd hoped. So just a normal standard old podcast again. Like I say, I went back to the breakfast to the hotel for breakfast after a couple of hours, and on my way back, I stopped off along the way and shot a few other images. One of them is image number 1440. This is a simple shot of a wet leaf on a mossy tree trunk. I shot this with my 100mm macro, again with an ISO of 400, as the wind was blowing the leaf around sometimes, and I just needed to get the image captured. And I set the aperture to f/8, giving me a shutter speed of 1/8 of a second. The f/8 aperture gave me enough depth of field to get the main leaf in focus, but not much else. It also gave me a nice earthy sort of dappled effect in the background on the right side of the image, which I think works quite well. It had been raining on and off for the few hours that I'd been here, but it was raining quite heavily now too. And as there was no mist to capitalize on that I'd also hoped for, in addition to the light in this first session, or first session of this day, I didn't spend too much time before breakfast, as I would have had to start to sort of get the plastic bags and rubber bands out and other high-tech rainproofing gear. So I just decided that I'd go back, start make my way back to the hotel. And before I continue, though, I wanted to quickly mention something else that's probably going to be making its way to that list of things that I'd like not like to be without, and that's a pair of Mombell fisherman's gloves. And you know, for this first few hours, it was actually really quite cold, and these gloves that are made of like a thick-ish but flexible rubber, a little like or rubberized material, I probably should say, a little like that used for diving wetsuits. But the cool thing is that the end of the thumb, index finger, and middle finger have like an elasticized hole that you can so you grab the end of the finger, pull it off, and then bend it back, and then the end of your fingers sort of pokes through this hole, and it really helps for just sort of doing more detailed work like changing memory cards or fitting filters, things like that, anything that you want to do. It basically the rubber grip on the inside as well, of the inside of the fingers and the palm, really helps you to just sort of grab everything and work as though you were handling your equipment directly. So this is something else that I bought during the winter, but didn't get out in the cold as much as I thought, and I threw them into the my bag on the way out here because I thought that it might be cold in the early morning. And my, you know, that preparation was good because it really was quite bitter cold for this first couple of hours, and I was pleased that I'd got them and could try them out as well. So they're now firmly on my list of things that I wouldn't like to be without. Anyway, moving on, I went back to the hotel, grabbed breakfast, and then I went back to my room and jumped back into bed for another hour to try and catch up on some sleep. I got up again at 9 a.m. and checked out and went back to the falls. On my first two visits, I noticed that there were a few grey wagtails flying around, and this is the bird with the yellow underbelly that we looked at last week. As you already know from the first two fall shots, it was too dark in the first two visits to think about shooting birds. There simply wasn't enough available light, and I also didn't want to get into a wildlife shoot simply from a time perspective. Whereas you can shoot landscapes, waterfalls, and things like that in a relatively short space of time with the right planning and effort to get there at the right time, shooting wildlife takes more patience and therefore obviously more time. The thing is now, though, I'd had breakfast and checked out of the hotel, and I was basically free now until I decided to leave. I even had a rice ball snack and a bar of chocolate in the car, so if I wanted to, I could stay for the day, especially with the wholesome breakfast that I'd had as well. With this, I decided to take my 600 mm f/4 and the big Jitsu tripod for this third visit. I'd packed the 600 mm in my lens tracker rucksack-style camera bag. And I'd also, you know, I have some lens pouches attached to it, so it's really just a case of switching a few of the lenses from one bag to the other, and you know, without having, you know, I can't take everything that I would normally carry in my nature tracker bag, but the, you know, I know now, I know what I've got, I know what the location has in store, and I've pretty much gotten all of the fall shots that I wanted, although I'd continue to shoot them. But basically, this time I was going to try and get some of the wildlife shots. So the 600 mm was definitely the lens that I wanted to have with me. And so basically, switched a few things around, and I was about to set off. Of course, this way of sort of taking all more gear than you can normally carry in one go is only really possible if you're working from a car. If I was travelling by public transport, I'd have to make this decision before leaving home. Once back at the falls, at a normal hour, I no longer had the location to myself. There were four photographers standing in one of the places that I'd shot from over the last two visits. So I sort of excused myself and made my way past them into another location, being careful, of course, not to get into their shots. But it was from here that the new location down the bottom that I captured image number 1442. This photograph is currently the desktop wallpaper on all computers I use. I shot it with the 600mm f4 without an extender and cropped it to the left-hand side some. I have to admit that these guys move around so quickly that I'd pretty much bullseyed this shot as soon as I'd focused, without recomposing to move the wagtail off center or anything like that. I did recompose for a few more before he flew off, and you can see the other examples on my website, and I'll put a link to list all of the shots from the day, from the 2 days, sorry, on in the show notes as well. But basically, I prefer this particular shot, especially once cropping it down to an almost square format like this. This was shot with the aperture wide open at f4 for 100th of a second with ISO 100. I was pushing it here a little on the shutter speed, but the subject was a little on the cooperative side, so I was in luck. I was consciously trying to include some of the same green leaves that we saw in front of the falls in the first two shots, and from the angle I was shooting at, I was also lucky to get some of the falls in the right side of the frame here. As I said, there'd been a couple of wagtails wandering around, and I noticed that they kept going back to the same spot on the rock face to the left of the falls. I dropped the 1.4 times extender between the lens and the camera body and took a look, and found, as I suspected, that there were some young in a nest, looking right back at me. In image number 1447, we can see one of the parents tending to the chicks with their mouths open wide, asking for more juicy flies. It was really quite dark as this rock face was in deep shadow, so I had to pump up the ISO to 800 for this shot and still only got a shutter speed of 160th of a second at f5.6, which is the new widest aperture as I was using the extender. The chicks were already quite large, and I dare say that had I visited a week later, they'd have already flown the nest. So I felt quite lucky to have chosen this time to visit and being able to sort of get this added bonus for my efforts. In the next image, number 1448, we can see another shot of a grey wagtail, this time perched on a bough on the bough of a tree in front of the falls, with a little more light than the last one. I used ISO 400 here and got a shutter speed of 1/250th of a second at f5.6. I'm pleased with this shot because I caught the bird singing and in the middle of a quite colourful scene with not only the bright green leaves but also some splashes of red in what I think are either seeds or maybe some buds containing more leaves, probably the former. Mixed in with some open leaves, that is. For this shot, I have cropped about 20% off the bottom of the frame to get to this size. Not so much to give us a bigger view of the birds, but really just for compositional reasons. The bottom of the frame wasn't adding very much to this shot at all, so I got rid of it, aligning the bottom of the frame with the branch coming in from the left. Let's take a look at one more image of the wagtails before moving on, and that is image number 1449. Here we see one of the parents sitting on top of the falls with its mouth full of flies for the young in the nest. It always amazes me how these guys can continue to fly around and catch more flies while already having so many in their beaks. Still at ISO 400, I'd set a shutter speed of 1/320th of a second here, as there was just a little more light up here on top of the falls at this point in time, and I was trying to stop the white water from blowing out too. Moving along though, let's take a look at a few more shots of the falls, starting with image number 1450. As I said, I was now sharing the location with a number of other photographers, and as the day progressed, a number of large groups came and went, and at this point, there were people beside me, but a lady had come down and was making her way around the various vantage points, doing her thing. And here we can see her to the right, and this is actually just a little bit down, where she's standing is just a little bit down from where I'd been shooting the birds in the nest earlier. I had now switched to my 16-35mm lens and was getting a few shots of the wider area now that there was a fair amount of light, and the lush green of the leaves above the falls was also looking pretty cool. So, you know, this was shot at 35mm with an aperture of f11 for 1/20th of a second at ISO 100. F11 is plenty to get everything in the scene in focus. F8 would have been actually. If I recall correctly, what I was doing was I'd just set the focus to a meter and a half or so in front of the lens and was shooting away at hyperfocal distance. As there are two falls here, the man and the woman falls, that they call them, male and female falls, I couldn't resist to just finish without showing you the daintier woman falls that are positioned to the left of the main sort of stocky man falls. And that is image number 1452. Not a great photo by any means, I kind of like the greens, but really more than anything, I wanted to just document the location more thoroughly. Shot at 70mm with the 70-200mm f2.8 lens, I chose a shutter speed of 1.6 seconds at f16 with an ISO of 100 to get that flowing water effect again and to give me a relatively deep depth of field. At shortly before 2 p.m, I'd probably gotten all of the shots that I wanted, and from that point I'd got another three hours or so drive back to Tokyo, even if the roads were clear, which they weren't. I got stuck in a traffic jam, so it took me around 5 hours to get home. But basically I decided to start heading back. I shot a few more images on the way back to the car from the falls, and then on leaving the gravel road up to the falls, and then I joined the tarmac road. I saw the scene in the next shot, and I couldn't help but pull over and shoot image number 1454. For years, I've been amazed by the various colours of the seasons, the colours that the seasons bring to the Japanese landscape. And this image is a great example. The fresh new leaves give a beautiful vibrant green, with the darker leaves of the evergreen trees adding contrast, along with the yellow and oranges of other new foliage, making a kind of tapestry on the mountainside. A patchwork on the mountainside here. And, basically what I did on a compositional side was I aligned the taller trees to the right and left along the edges to give us a bit of a frame by zooming in to 100mm with the 70-200 f2.8 lens. And, I just wanted to finish on this just to show how colourful even spring can be in this wonderful country. And that just about does it for today. A few reminders here that planning and being prepared will often help you to be at the right place at the right time, as well as, with getting a nice, some nice fresh green leaves in front of the falls here. That was the planning part. And the thing is, though, as I said, it was a little bit of luck because I really wasn't sure if the weather had held these green leaves back for maybe a few more weeks. Also, the luck that I had with the grey wagtails and their young, that was really just 100% luck. I know that wild birds nest and are often active in these areas, but I wasn't sure. But definitely packing the 600mm F4 was a winning choice. So I just really wanted to emphasize that although I know it's not always possible, especially if you're not traveling by your own vehicle, it can be difficult. But when you can, being prepared for as many possibilities will definitely give you the ability to switch around the equipment that you're working with on the fly, and also that basically raises your chances of being able to capitalize on what luck throws our way. And going the extra mile as well, to get to a place at the right time, and then just sort of putting yourself out a little bit more to get up as early as 3:45 is also going to pay off. I hope you enjoyed joining me at the Tatazawa Falls. I certainly enjoyed the trip, and I'm definitely hoping to visit again, hopefully in another season, and see what this great location has in store. Remember too that the low perspective assignment is still in progress. Your images have to be shot no earlier than May the 2nd, 2007, as the idea of this is to get you out shooting with this in mind. There's actually an active thread debating the fairness of this rule on the forum right now, so if you're interested, please do take a look. I'm going to hold off giving my own take on this for a few more days to give others a chance to discuss. This current assignment will run until June 10th, 2007, so you have another 2 weeks to get your submissions in. You'll be able to upload your images to the mbpgalleries.com assignment album until the end of Sunday the 10th, anywhere in the world. I'll then turn on the voting system and you'll be able to vote for your favorite for a further 2 weeks until the end of Sunday, June the 24th. So good luck. If you've already got your submission in, thank you very much, and good luck to those that are still shooting. And with that, I just want to say thanks for listening and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye bye.
PhotocastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotocastNetwork.com.